This morning's readings are from Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go to meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, Where is your God? These things I remember. I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, Where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to look at these Psalms now. And we ask that you would guide us by your Spirit and help us to hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're continuing this series looking through the Psalms. And today we have Buy One, Get One Free, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. The reason we have both of these Psalms is that it's likely they were written together. But there's more that we can find out about this psalm than just reading it. Because if you look in your Bibles, if you've got one in front of you, you might be able to notice that it doesn't just have Psalm 42 and then the words. It actually tells us a bit more. The Bible tells us that this psalm was written by the sons of Korah and that it's a maskil. Let me explain those two things. The first thing is that it's written by the sons of Korah. And I particularly like them because they, wait for this, were the priests charged with the ministry of singing. Yes. There's one particular character you may have heard of who's one of those Korahites. His name was He-Man. I love his name. I grew up with a cartoon with him in. Not the actual person, but a cartoon with that name in anyway. And He-Man was one of the temple musicians. So this psalm is of the sons of Korah. So it's likely that it was a song, therefore used in public worship. But if you look at the words, it's really interesting because the words of this song are quite personal. They describe emotion. And isn't that a reminder that it's important for us to express our emotion, even in song? And of course, it's right that we sing songs about who God is, and I will always champion that. But we mustn't neglect emotion. Someone said to me this week that they were taught as they were growing up that they shouldn't cry, that they should push things down. And that's the very opposite of what this psalm does. John Piper says, poetry and singing exist because God made us with emotions, not just thoughts. We have emotions. It's important we express them even in song. So as well as this being a psalm of the sons of Korah, it also tells us that this psalm is a maskil. And that basically is a psalm that is helping people to be wise. is a psalm to instruct. So if we put those two things together, this is a psalm, a song which instructs. It's a song which helps us express what we are feeling, but learn at the same time. How good is that? Those two things together. Fact is, we do learn, don't we, from what we sing. I remember learning the days of the week in French to the tune of Match of the Day, for example. So what is going on in this psalm? Well, there's words and phrases in this psalm which show us that the psalmist who's written it is struggling. And others are seeing this too. So lots of people are saying to him, where is this God of yours? Maybe you've heard someone say that to you. But I want to highlight, to begin with, the first few verses. Because this singing priest has found himself away from the place of worship. He says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. There's a hint later on in the psalm in verse 6 about where he is. He's likely to be now in the north of the country. But wherever he is not worshipping in the presence of his community. He is unable to worship in the ways he's used to. Unable to sing with others. Let that sink in for a moment. He's unable to worship in ways he's used to. Unable to sing with others. When I read this psalm, those words jumped off the page to me. I thought, that's exactly how I'm feeling. Are you? How I miss singing, particularly worshipping with everyone, with all of you, with every single one of you. And of course, all scripture is relevant. But these psalms have something to say to us in this moment. This priest, for whatever reason, has found himself away from his worshipping community, unable to join in. He doesn't even have the blessing of the internet to help him join in. Let's recognise just how fortunate we are to have the technology that we have. Even if there are times we'd like to throw it out of the window, even if it is difficult, it is better than many have it. Actually, hold on to the fact that for some, this is a lifeline. So, like many of us, I would imagine, this psalmist is mourning the loss of what was, what can't happen at the moment, what isn't happening, the past. He has lost the worship with others, the crowd of worshippers. He's mourning the loss day and night. To such an extent that the opening lines of this psalm describe someone in a very dry place, apart from the tears. At the beginning of this psalm, we have this image of a deer longing for streams of water. And that image might not be one that resonates with us. But in a sense, it's an image of extreme thirst. Some versions have the word panting. Sadly, we've seen that in parts of this world far too much. Maybe in a little way, some of us have experienced it in the last few days in the very high and humid temperatures. I have to say my study is very humid as I preach this. My cat, Squirrel, some of you have seen her on screen at times, is 18. And she has various health issues. One of those includes her getting very thirsty. So I have bowls of water all around the house. But I have been kept awake by loud meowing on more than one occasion because my cat has run out of water in the bowls upstairs. It's water downstairs, but she is desperate for water upstairs. She is thirsty, and she wants me to know. Now put that image to the image of someone desperate for God, longing, wanting to drink deep from the wells of the living God, but in quite a dry place. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, O God. I thirst for the living God. When can I go and stand before him? This psalmist is in a dry and parched place, desperate for God. I wonder, is that you? Are you feeling dry and parched because you are unable to meet with others in the way you're used to? Because the way you have been fed and watered is not available in the same way you are used to. Maybe you don't realise that it's you, but maybe me saying it has challenged you. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in John's Gospel when he speaks to the woman at the well and he describes living water. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Now that is not Jesus saying, come to me and you don't need to meet with others again, but rather that he is the answer to our thirst for God. His spirit quenches our very souls. Psalmist also talks about longing to stand before God. There's a sense of place in that, isn't there? It's place specific. But of course, in post-resurrection time, we can stand before God wherever we are. You can come to Jesus where you are right now and receive afresh. It's different from being with others. It's not the same, But God has given us his Spirit to help us keep going in times like this. It sometimes requires a little more effort on our part. And it involves us needing to keep drinking of God's Spirit. If you've ever been to a hot climate like I have, and you're with someone else who is making sure that you drink, you know, they're constantly going, there's too much water in that bottle, you need to drink more. It's that sense in this dry and parched place that maybe some of us are feeling in now, we need to drink more. So in the longing for the past that is lost, the psalmist is struggling. But it seems that the present is not necessarily that much better for him either. There is a sense of being overcome by the waves, by oppression, by pain. But it's different because there are moments of response too. In fact, in these passages, in verses 6 to 11 in particular, there are at least five ways this psalmist tries to respond to all he is facing, ways which might be helpful for us. First thing to bring out is that he asks God questions. He says, why? Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? That reminds us it is okay to question God. For a lot of us, it's part of our processing to acknowledge that we don't understand what is going on, to say that we don't want this to go on forever. Now, it's probably unlikely that this psalmist really believes that God has forgotten him, as he says here, because in the verse before, he talks about how the Lord pours out his unfailing love, and then later he describes God as rock. But what it does show is that it's okay to question. It shows his confusion and the reality of how he is feeling. It is okay to tell the Lord how you feel, even if you know deep down that God is there. I've spoken to a number of people about that sort of thing recently. The fact is, God is big enough. He can take it. The next thing the psalmist does is he remembers past experience. He remembers God. He remembers his time of worship with others, not as something nostalgic, but as something which was good and life-giving. And I think that's a really important thing for us at the moment. While we're not meeting corporately, and even when we do in the coming months, it won't be the same. We won't be able to sing or hug each other or stand around in groups and talk. It is good to remember how God has worked as we have worshipped together. That's not about hankering after something from the past, because that's not necessarily helpful. It's about holding on to how God has worked, because if he's done it once, he can do it again. This psalmist remembers past experiences. He realizes why worshipping with others is so important. And I wonder, if someone were to ask you what is so important about worshipping together, what might you say? How might you answer that? What is so important about worshipping together? Next thing is that this psalmist remembers God's love. In the context here, the verse before I want to just reflect on says this, your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But then the psalmist says, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. Even in the midst of all he's facing, this psalmist remembers, he acknowledges God's love, his sovereignty, his faithfulness. Now, it doesn't mean he's not facing such troubles, but he somehow holds on to the truth of who God is, that God is love. I remember showing a video a couple of years ago of an interview with TV presenter Simon Thomas about the death of his wife who died. She died suddenly from cancer. And in that video, he talked about how he held on to God at times with just a fingertip. At times, that is all he could do. But it helped him through the depths that were washing over him. How are you holding on to God's love today? Remember God's love, his sovereignty, his faithfulness. The next thing the psalmist does, which is a really interesting thing, is that he sings. Each day it says, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. He sings his prayers. How good is that? Singing doesn't have to be jubilant, of course. It can be our way of keeping going, reminding ourselves, giving to God. It's about praying. And he does this each night, reminder that prayer is really important, day by day, night by night, singing or saying. But of course, singing songs, or God's songs like this, is a way of reminding ourselves of God's love too. Have you done that? Maybe do it as part of your quiet time, your time with the Lord, as you pray, as you read God's word. Finally, in responding to all that is going on, the psalmist speaks to his soul. There's a refrain which occurs three times across these two psalms. It says this, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my saviour and my God. That's a refrain we all need, isn't it? And so instead of listening only to his troubles, this psalmist speaks to his troubles. And it doesn't seem that he's doing it in a frustrated way, but in a God-focused, life-focused, hope-filled way. One writer suggests that what we need to do is to preach the gospel to ourselves, to remind ourselves that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, that in him there is hope of forgiveness, of salvation, of resurrection, of an end to tears. In him there is no condemnation, there is freedom, there is love. And as Romans 8 says, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Here the psalmist reminds himself that God is his saviour. We need to remember that each day. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves, to speak to our own souls. So there's a few ways that the psalmist tries to respond to his situation. The final thing I want to bring out is, of course, the future. And I just want to look briefly at Psalm 43. In Psalm 43, the prayer continues. He asks God for vindication, for rescue. But there is something else in this psalm. In this psalm, there is a future. There is a homecoming. The psalmist sees God's light and truth as a way to guide him to God. And I love the way the psalmist describes this closer and closer journey to God. It's a bit like a camera zooming in, right in. Because first, the psalmist talks about being brought by God's light and truth to God's holy mountain, then to the place God lives, then to the altar of God, and then to God, the source of all his joy. Joy is, of course, in God. God is where our joy comes from. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And then what happens? After the psalmist has this sense of homecoming to God, he says this, I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Sort of makes me think that the songs will return to praise. You know, don't worry if you don't have a harp, by the way. Any instrument will do. Or a voice, that's absolutely fine. This reminds us that there is a future that we can all look forward to and hope for. To praise once again. To hope for that, even in the midst of difficulty. Finally, that refrain returns once more. I will praise him again, says the psalmist. And in this final refrain, I feel a bit like the psalmist is now able to say it with a little more conviction, holding on to hope a bit more. Now, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my saviour and my God. It's like the psalmist has had to go through this process. And we see that again and again in the psalms. Sometimes it's described as orientation, disorientation and reorientation, or turning to a vow to praise. Even if at that moment it's impossible or really difficult, that vow to say, I will, that hope to say, I will. So what might your refrain need to be at the moment? How might you need to preach the gospel to yourself? Are you in a dry place? Do you need to thirst for God? And if so, ask him to come by his Spirit. Amen.